This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The filing deadline has now passed for congressional and state legislative races. The primary will be held in August and then the general election in November. But raising money is a constant. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network has examined the most recent campaign finance reports for congressional races throughout Michigan. Craig Mauger is the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Thank you for being with us.
Gordon, thank you so much for having us on.
So when you look across Michigan and you look at the various congressional districts, where is a lot of this money going? Does there seem to be a focus on maybe a handful of races?
Yeah, I would say that there's a focus on probably about five races in Michigan. One of them is a Republican primary race in the 10th district where Candace Miller, a longtime member of Congress, is not running for re-election. It's a Republican district, and there's a group of Republicans running there, and there's money floating to that race. And then we have four what I would consider general election races that are drawing a lot of money. The 6th district, a West Michigan district that your listeners will be very familiar with, currently represented by Fred Upton, is attracting some money. The 7th district, which is represented by Tim Walberg, and the 8th district, represented by Mike Bishop, are kind of central Michigan districts, southern Michigan districts. They are drawing a lot of money. So there's three. Another one that we're watching is the 1st district up in the Upper Peninsula in northern Michigan, where it's an open seat. Dan Benishek is not running for re-election. And we've got Lon Johnson, the former Michigan Democratic Party chair, and a slew of Republicans running. And that district is also seeing a lot of money float its way. So the 1st, 7th, 8th, 6th, and 10th, those are the five districts that are really attracting the dollars right now.
So the couple of open races you mentioned are the Upper Peninsula race, Dan Benishek's former seat or about to be former seat because since he's not running for re-election, and then where Candace Miller has also been serving and choosing not to seek another term. Open congressional races would seem like a ripe target for someone who's looking to seek influence, I guess you could say, from somebody who's going to be running for Congress. So is that probably what explains that those two races are seeing a lot of money?
I think that's one of the things. I think that there's a numerous candidates running in those races. So you see a handful of candidates who are all out hitting the campaign trail, hitting the fundraising trail, and really investing a lot of time in trying to make themselves known with the power brokers in D.C. and the people with the money, trying to get them on board with their campaigns. In the 10th district, there's a businessman running named Paul Mitchell who, according to the campaign finance records we've reviewed, has already invested about $2 million of his own money in his campaign. That's a huge number. That's driving the spending in the 10th district. In the 1st, you have just a lot of people who are well-known and know who to call, know what groups to get the money from, and they know how to fundraise. Lon Johnson, he's the former party chair. He's known for his fundraising ability somewhat in this state. And then you've got a state senator on the Republican side running up in the 1st and a former state senator on the Republican side running up in the 1st. And both of them are raising large sums of money. So there's no shortage of it apparently to go around.
What you, I suppose, could argue is at the opposite end of the spectrum from that is Fred Upton, who is a 30-year member of Congress seeking re-election, and yet there's a lot of money coming into this race. Now, is it mostly going to Representative Upton at this point?
Yeah, in the 6th district, what we've seen so far is just fundraising dominance by Fred Upton, and it's not surprising. It's not surprising because he's the chair of a pretty important committee in D.C. He's been there for so many years. He knows and has the relationships with the people that have money. And if you look at his totals for the last quarter, so this is just 3 months, over 3 months, Fred Upton, a sitting member of Congress, raised $386,000 in a single three-month period. And if you look at that total, where's that money coming from? $305,000 of that $386,000 total is coming from political action committees. So these are committees, not individual donors. These are committees, many of them based in the Washington, D.C. area. So he's getting a large sum of his money from the political action committees that represent interest groups that he works with in D.C., most likely.
He is being challenged once again by the Democrat Paul Clements. As you examine his campaign finance records, do you see any similar patterns of where money is coming from?
No, not similar patterns, but I mean, he raised $143,000 in a 3-month period, which is actually, when it's not much compared to Upton's number, it is actually a pretty good number when it comes to challengers to sitting congressmen. He raised a lot of his money through donors who go through an online donating service, like $70,000 through this online fundraising campaign service that a lot of Democrats use. He got $15,000 approximately from political action committees. A lot of his came from individual donors. So it's really different, but it's not unusual for there to be a difference in fundraising strategies between Republicans and Democrats. Republican sitting congressmen have the ability to have the relationships to go to people in D.C. that have lots of money and ask them for that. And sitting Democratic Congress members can do that as well. But when you're a challenger, you have to have more of a kind of a grassroots approach when it comes to your personal fundraising, it seems. And you're seeing that play out in the 6th.
The 7th District, Republican Tim Walberg is being challenged by Democrat Gretchen Driscoll. Now, this race features a much closer race in terms of money, correct? I mean, they're a lot closer in terms of how much money they're raising.
Yes, definitely. Tim Walberg, to this point in the cycle of the 2-year cycle, he's raised about $1.1 million for his candidate committee. Gretchen Driscoll's raised about the same, $1.09 million. So they're both raising large sums of money. Gretchen Driscoll is a current member of the State House from the Ann Arbor area. She is known to be a good fundraiser, which is becoming more and more important when it comes to running congressional campaigns. And I think that's part of the attraction of Gretchen Driscoll to a lot of people on the Democratic side, is that she's got the Democratic viewpoints that Dems like, and she's got the ability to raise money. She outraised Walberg in the last 3-month period, raising $315,000. One of the interesting things looking at the numbers for Tim Walberg and Gretchen Driscoll is just how much money comes from people who give more than $1,000. This is a trend across the country, and it's something that draws a lot of criticism because these members of Congress and people who want to be members of Congress spend a lot of their time trying to fundraise. And a lot of that time fundraising is spent on people with large amounts of money in their bank accounts, people who have the ability to write a $1,000 check. If you look at Tim Walberg, the wide majority of his fundraising total, which was $226,000 for the quarter, the wide majority of that, I think like about 80% of that, came from people who wrote checks of $1,000 or more. And then you think, well, maybe on the Democratic side, things are a little bit different. I mean, maybe that doesn't happen as much on the Dem side. But in this case, State Representative Driscoll raised, I think, about 50% of her money from checks of $1,000 or more in the last quarter. It just shows you, when it comes to running a congressional campaign, which is an extremely expensive endeavor in this day and age, these candidates, these lawmakers, are very dependent on people who have large sums of money to give away.
And the average contribution number that you bring up, this is why Bernie Sanders is often talking about the fact that his average contribution is $27, because because that's a more grassroots type of approach, or so it seems.
Yeah, he touts that all the time on the campaign trail, because money in politics is one of the main focuses of his campaign. And I think he uses an example that he's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk as well. But there are a lot of candidates who, on both sides of the aisle in the presidential races, who are able to have kind of that grassroots fundraising strategy. Ben Carson on the Republican side, he raised a lot of money from small donors across this country. Ted Cruz raises a lot of money from small donors. He gets money from big donors as well, but he does a lot with small donors. On the presidential side of things, they're more capable of doing that because they have the attention of the mass media. Everyone's interested in the presidential race across this country. Everyone has an opinion. I know if you sit down with any of your family members, they probably have an opinion on it. But that's why that's able to be done at the presidential level. That's a lot harder in the congressional level. It's a lot harder to captivate all the small donors in your district and get them fired up about your campaign. It's just, it's a lot tougher challenge.
I want to briefly note the 8th district race that you mentioned, the Republican Mike Bishop being challenged by the Democrat Melissa Gilbert. Is this a kind of just an unusual circumstance to look at here? I mean, first of all, Bishop is a first-term congressman, and that's when you're most likely to face a serious challenge. But you also have Melissa Gilbert, who brings a certain celebrity to this race and has been getting a lot of money from fellow celebrities, including Ben Affleck and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, I had to, when I was looking through her campaign finance report for this most recent quarter, I kind of had to do a double take when I was looking through some of the names of donors, because there's a lot of members, well-known members of the Hollywood community who have been giving to her. She's a actress, so she has ties to that community. She's worked with a lot of these people. She's drawn a lot of money from California addresses, which I'm guessing will be something that will eventually be used as an attack strategy against her by the Republicans. It will be a fascinating race because she's got the name ID. She's got the fact that she's from the portion of the 8th District, which is a really kind of strange, diverse district. She's from the portion of the 8th District that is more Republican-leaning, so that could be a benefit to her in some ways. And then you've got Bishop, who is very well-known for his work as a state legislator, and he's an incumbent running for his second term, and he is not a bad fundraiser either. So it's going to be a really interesting race, and if Gilbert can keep the race close, in terms of polling going into November, there's going to be a ton of money flooding there. That's what it is, an important thing for your listeners to keep in mind. These fundraising totals, as much as is made of them, as many press releases as the candidates send out about them, these fundraising totals at this point in the election cycle are really a signal from these candidates to the large donors and the groups, the super PACs that can come in and spend independently of them. There's signals to these groups and donors that, hey, I'm working hard on the campaign trail. My race is serious. I'm in this race to win it. It's a signal. It shows the effort that they're putting in. At the end of the day, in November, in September, October, when these general election races heat up, a lot of money will be coming from outside groups, not these candidates themselves. That's where a lot of the money is done in this day and age. If you look at the presidential race, super PACs, which are groups that can take unlimited contributions from labor unions and corporations, that's where a lot of the spending is done in the presidential race. And it's likely that in these congressional races, if some of them are close and if these groups feel like they can swing a seat or one of their current representatives is in deep trouble, they'll come in with a large sum of money and spend it on TV advertising. You saw it in the last U.S. Senate race when it was Gary Peters versus Terry Lynn Land. There was a lot of outside spending done there. So these fundraising totals are huge. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars. But many more millions of dollars can come into these races later from these outside groups. So it's just something to keep in mind.
And might those numbers which come in, say, in June or September, give us a better idea of whether those outside funders think they have a chance to flip a seat or if they think they need to protect an incumbent congressman who they view favorably? I mean, do those numbers in June and September maybe give us a better indication of whether or not other people are concerned about an election outcome?
Yeah, definitely. You're spot on with that. I mean, when you talk about the fall, early fall, late fall, maybe late summer, when you start seeing numerous TV ads on your TV screen all the time mentioning the congressional candidate, talking about how good that candidate is or how bad that candidate is, that's usually an indication that that is a close race. I mean, people spend money in races that are close. They spend money in races they think they can swing. So the closer these races get, the more money flows into them.
How transparent are the donations which these candidates have received so far? By and large, do we know who the donors of these contributions are?
Yes. When it comes to the congressional candidate campaign committees, right now, these fundraising numbers we're talking about are totals that these candidates raise for their campaigns, so they're in charge of how they're spent. This is, when it comes to the other forms of raising money, this is the transparent way of raising money. I mean, they have to list their donors. There are contribution limits on how much the donors can give. I mean, for the most part, we know where the money's coming from and who's giving it. That's why I can say this is the amount of money the person got from PACs. This is the amount of money that the person got from California or Michigan donors. But later in the race, when those outside groups come in and we have super PACs who are taking unlimited contributions, that's when things get fuzzier. And then you have a whole nother issue that's extremely important, but also pretty complex when it comes to issue advertising. Sometimes there are ads that we don't know the donors behind because they don't directly tell people to vote for the person or vote against the person. So these are all things to keep in mind. These candidate fundraising numbers are pretty transparent, but later on when the outside money comes in, that's when things get less transparent. Just as one example for your listeners, so super PACs can take unlimited contributions from corporations. One of the things that we've seen happening on the presidential level is that we'll have corporations pop up all of a sudden in a state, and that corporation will all of a sudden give money to a presidential campaign and to a presidential super PAC, and no one will know what this corporation is, except the fact that they gave, you know, $1 million, maybe $50,000 to a super PAC that's playing in the presidential race. That's not transparency. The question is, are these shell corporations that donors are setting up to protect their identity? That's a trend, something to watch, that you can hide. Right now, the way the system is going, some donors are able to hide their identity by giving through these shell corporations. We've kind of seen this in some ways. In Michigan, there was a corporation that was giving money to a couple of super PACs that were advocating for certain presidential candidates. And if you looked at the address, it was simply a mail forwarding company over in West Michigan. And if you search the company name in the Michigan Business Registry, the company wasn't registered as a business here. So we have no idea who was really writing the checks that that company was giving to these candidates. It's just something to watch, and it's something that shows the lack of transparency in our campaign finance system.
Craig Mauger, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Craig Mauger is Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.